Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Got something special for you today. It's actually the first of a two-part video series. One message, but I don't have enough time to be able to share the entire thing in one video. And I'm doing this for our men's group, our men's breakfast here in my hometown, where we're catching up this Saturday. And I'll be sharing part two of these two videos. So this is like part A, and then part B I'll be sharing on Saturday. But it'll also be a second video coming out next week. And the reason why I'm doing it is this is foundation information. We're digging into the book of Proverbs, and we're going to look at some core principles which are highly relevant to understand as we then go into that second part, part B of this video message. So grab your Bible, sit down if you need to, grab your pen, get ready to take a couple of notes. I don't know if you've spent much time in Proverbs before. It's a wonderful book. I like to call it the Book of Wisdom, most of which is written by Solomon. And, well, as they say, Solomon, they believe to be, even in the secular world, one of the wisest men who ever lived. And in this particular section, we're going to start from chapter 4. I'm just going to be picking out some key verses, 4, 5, and the start of 6. Then in the second video, 6 and 7, digging in. So read ahead if you can. Matter of fact, here's just a quick idea on the side. Proverbs, 31 books. This is the ultimate book to be reading a chapter a day for a month. And going through, my wife actually spent some time doing this with different versions of the Bible. A chapter a day, a month in one version, and then another month, a chapter a day for a month in another version, and going through and taking all of the notes and doing the highlights, and just so much incredible wisdom. And we're going to start with that, talking about that wisdom and talking about understanding. So here in chapter 4, we have Solomon. This is writing for, we'll just say, one of his children. There were many, but writing for his children. Verse 1, chapter 4 of Proverbs. Hear, my children, the instructions of a father. Give attention to no understanding. And that's important. That's one of the key things here. Verse 3, when I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, and there's a whole lot of things here. Now, not all of us had the opportunity for a good father to give good lessons. I understand that. Here they are. It's okay. Here they are. You're not missing out. This is even better. Inspired word of God. God breathed the Holy Scriptures. Oh, this is good wisdom. Have a listen to this. Verse 4, he taught me, he said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Now, these are good things to get, and there is a slight difference between them for you to understand. If we look at understanding, are learning of the facts, the principles, the truths, the promises, right? Understanding these things. Whereas wisdom is the application of the facts, the principles, and the truths. How you put these things into practice. And if you turn over the page, just back one to chapter 2, verse 2, we see, so you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. It's important that we have both understanding and wisdom. You can have all the knowledge in the world and understand these things, but not necessarily have wisdom about how to use them. I can have knowledge on how to build a nuclear reactor, but without wisdom in how to use it, well, it could be catastrophic results. Do you understand? There's a difference between both wisdom and understanding. In verse 7, we see wisdom is the principal thing, therefore, get wisdom. Yes, we also see in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. So as you go through the word, seek to understand, yes, but then pray for wisdom on how to apply what you've come to know and how to walk it out in your everyday life. Flick over to verse 14 for me, and we'll just have to, because of time, just jump to some key verses that I've underlined here, made a few notes. Verse 14, this is important. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Now, a long time ago, someone said to me, and I think it's an analogy that makes sense. Before I came to follow the Lord and I was in business and I was trying to pursuing that success path, and someone said, well, it's good. Take out successful people. Learn what they've done. Learn what they've done right. But then someone else said, you should also perhaps take out the failure. Find out what they didn't do. Find out what didn't work right. Well, we can learn here from this. And it's important to understand, you've probably heard it said, the best way to learn is what? Learn from your mistakes. No, that is not the best way to learn. The best way to learn is from other people's mistakes. Why would you want to do the same thing wrong again? When you can read in here, or you can get advice from someone who's walking in a worthy manner for the Lord, you can learn what not to do just as you can learn what to do. And that understanding, when applied, becomes wisdom. So we're told, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Verse 18, the path of the just is like the shining sun. That's the just, the righteous. These two words are, in a sense, at times interchangeable within Scripture. And the just, if we look at that, we are, Jesus is the light of the world, and now we, through the Spirit, become that light now for others. The Scripture tells us that we should not put a basket over our heads, in a sense, but we do not cover the lamp, the light of Christ, in our lives. We are to shine it. And the thing is, we have to be careful at all times. And I'm just going to speak to those who are involved in service or ministry for a moment. We must be careful of burnout, okay? The path of the just is like the sun shining. But I've spoken to those who are on that path to burnout, and their light is diminishing. It is darkening, because as they let the things of the world, usually their own efforts, come down hard upon them, the light becomes hidden. But the light of the just is like a shining sun, getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Understanding says, I can help this person. I can do that. I can apply myself here. Wisdom decides whether you should or whether you should delegate that to somebody else. Very important. And I know you probably also know people in ministry and leadership and service who had just ground to a halt in their life and in their work for the Lord, because of a lack of wisdom. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ears to my saying, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for, I love this, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. This here, this Bible, the Holy Scriptures that I am reading right now, God breathed every single word allowed to be put into these pages for us. Beautiful words, and we can learn from them. They are, to those who find them, life. They are health to their flesh. Think about that one for a moment. Just think about that one for a moment. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Now, there's so much that I could say on this. I'll just say very, very simply, the heart as well as the actions are equally important when it comes to the things of God. And Jesus illustrated this by saying simply, you have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I say, he who lusts after a woman in his heart has committed adultery. Do not commit murder, but I say, said Jesus, he who is has anger towards his brother, you have committed murder. The heart attitude is just as important as the action, especially when it comes to these things. And with our heart, for it springs the issues of life. And that's in the metaphysical, but even in the physical, I think it was in the 1600s, William Harvey, doctor, discovered just how incredible the heart and the heart muscle is. We have veins, we have capillaries, we have arteries, all running through the body. And if you were to take them all out and line them all up, I mean, this is the beauty of God and the power of creation. Nearly 100,000 kilometers, I think it's about 97,000 kilometers, if we lined up every artery, every vein, every capillary from top to bottom. That's what's inside of us. And the heart beats for the average person around 100,000 times a day. Obviously, depending on what you're doing in the day and the exercise and all of that. But what happens when it stops? No life. So we have both the physical life and also the issues of life through the heart. Verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Now I want you to jump over. Hold your thumb right there and let's go and have a quick look in Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And we look over here. Let your eyes look straight ahead, your eyelids look right before you. Jump over to Psalm 101 for me as well. I think you should actually take this. 101 verse 3, part A, the beginning. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I think that might be a good thing for some of us to actually make a little poster and stick it up near our televisions. Or our computers, or on the lock screen of our phones, possibly. Verse 4, a perverse heart shall depart from me. And here we have a Psalm of David promising faithfulness to the Lord. So let your eyes look straight ahead. We're going to talk more about that later in the second video if time allows. But just know this. Understand this. We are told, and I'm just going to read it, 2 Corinthians, let's see, it's chapter 3, verse 18. But we all are being transformed into the image of Christ from glory to glory. That same image by the Spirit of God. We are, if our eyes are focused on Him and not the evil of the screen. Simple principle. In our house, we still have young children. If they can't watch it, why are we? Interesting question, don't you think? So I would say to you, brother in Christ, if you couldn't watch it in front of the pastor of the church or the pastor of the church's wife, why are you watching it? If you couldn't watch it and sit down and show it to those, you know, preteens and teenagers that are in the Sunday school, why are you watching it? Good question. Chapter 5, and we'll quickly move on. Verse 1, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Pay attention, folks. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. Oh, here we go. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey. Her mouth is smoother than oil, but in the end she is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Pay attention. Lend your ears to understanding. Verse 6, lest you ponder her path of life with her ways are unstable and you do not know them. You do not want to know them. Let me tell you now, flattery is how we as men too easily fall into this. And we do it back as well. This is a two-way street, but I'm talking to men at the moment. We men are vulnerable and suckers to flattery, especially if we're feeling empty, especially if our worth, our value is coming from something other than Christ. In this case, someone other than Christ. Verse 7, therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from these words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. And Solomon knew he was a womanizer. And in later years, I believe he learnt the error of his ways, hence these messages. And look, we don't know when they were written in terms of time in his life. We don't know. But oh boy, this was a man who collected women like prized trophies. He could not keep his eyes off them. He learnt. Chapter 6. We're going to finish up here. Come back in the next video. Verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and number seven, an abomination to him, one who sows discord among the brethren. I'm going to leave it there because I'm going to do part two in just a moment and share it then on Saturday. But there's some solid advice there, isn't there? Wisdom and understanding. Get understanding. Get wisdom. So, folks, brothers in Christ, thank you for listening. And, of course, ladies, if you've popped in as well, thank you. I will pray that these things you should not fall prey to, that you will understand, that you will keep your eyes clean, that you'll be careful of the flattery from the other sex, which can draw you away. I'm going to read more about that in chapter 7. But it can draw you away from Christ. And we'll talk more about the next video. All right, guys, thank you very much. Have a great week. I'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.